This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Tuesday.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Your chance to win a pair of tickets in the bullpen coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. So you got to stay tuned and listen for the cue to call, and you can have a chance to be in the building for an all-important ball game against the first-place Denver Broncos coming off of beating the hell out of the Cowboys. They're trying to win that Texas two-step, ain't they? Cowboys, Texans. Two games in a row for the Broncos.
Where'd you hear that? That was cute.
I just came up with it right there on the spot.
No, you heard that somewhere this morning.
They always say the Texas two-step when teams have to go and play like Dallas or in the Rockets or the Spurs and the Rockets, and they got two in a row there. Look, Texas two-step right there.
They can three-step that piece in basketball.
They can three-step. Sometimes they can. Yeah, go all the way.
Does anybody ever do that?
Three-step?
Does anybody ever play all three of those teams in back-to-back-to-back?
I would assume it's happened. Why not? Go ahead and knock them out.
It makes a lot. I mean, it would make common sense if you're really trying to keep your expenses to a minimum.
Wait, you're in the Eastern Conference. Go ahead and knock that out. You got one trip to all of them. Go ahead and bang it out.
Fellas can have a good night in each city, experience every kind of different vibe Texas has to offer.
Why not start an OKC and just run it on through?
Why not, man?
That's a tough four-game stretch, though. OKC, Mavericks,
Spurs,
Rockets. Spurs are 4-0, by the way. They look like they're going to be this year's Rockets from last year. That team, like, you look at the Spurs, and I will get to the CJ conversation. But you look at the Spurs, somebody is coming up off that eight seat, one of those eight spots that were in the playoffs last year. I don't know who it is. Somebody is coming up off of that, and the Spurs look like they are primed and ready to be in the postseason coming up. All right, Clint, this is something that has been a point of conversation the last couple of weeks on the postgame show, and that is the body language of CJ Stroud, both coming out of the Seattle game when it was kind of negative body language when he was just sitting over there staring. I think I said a couple of weeks ago, well, I wonder, is there anything on that window surface, or is he just looking in it so nobody come talk to him? And then last week, I know many people were calling in saying it looked a lot better. He sounded a lot better in his press conferences. Your thoughts on that, because that's been something you and Sean been getting a lot in the postgame.
Well, look, I think it's good timing for the conversation, because I think as an entire fan base and as anybody that follows the team, media or fan, I think we've experienced the extreme one direction and the other in the last 2 weeks. Understandably so. You saw how bad the Seattle game was, and nobody takes it worse than the quarterback. And then you see how good the San Francisco game is, and again, nobody takes it better than the quarterback, right? And so I think we've seen bad CJ when it comes to body language, bench conduct, facial expressions, responding to adversity. And I think we've seen good CJ in responding to obviously having some success. I think it goes beyond just having success on the field. There's some audio out there right now of after D'Amico Ryans gave him the game ball, he turned immediately and said, "Hey, I'm going to get five of these and give one to each of my offensive linemen." Yeah. Which, by the way, CJ, you need six because Fisher played quite a bit, and you need seven because you got a rotation at left guard. So don't leave all those guys out. If you do, bust that football up. All joking aside, with the way the Seattle game went and the body language and bench conduct and facial expressions and kind of staring blankly into a pad, not having much communication with anybody on the sideline to fix the issues, that is plenty of reason to be concerned. And that's been my big concern with C.J. Stroud is how does he handle taking the bull by the horns of this football team, of this offense, and really being the franchise quarterback, really being the guy beyond just, man, this dude's talented and can spin the rock around the park, but the guy that's literally the face of the organization and somebody you can build around. And I think a lot of that has to do with this particular conversation. It was as bad as we've seen it 2 weeks ago. It was as good as we saw it 2 days ago. And where does CJ land? Somewhere in the middle, he's got to land. I just think it's a fascinating conversation because I do think it matters. I do think it's
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a big part of his future here in Houston. I think it's a big part of what tier quarterback CJ lands on. And I think it's a big part of do they have to go and find and pay big money to some alpha on the offensive side of the ball that can ultimately lead us to where we want to go, or is CJ that guy?
So what should it look like, the concern? Because, I mean, clearly, Clint, if you're getting your ass kicked like you were against Seattle, I mean, the thought is not that you're going to be over there happy, right? When you're dominating and you're playing, arguably, as D'Amico said, maybe your best game, one of your best games since you've been with the Texans, you're going to have a different feel on the sideline and everything. But what should it look like even in those games where it looks like Seattle or Tampa?
Well, to be fair, like my response to this in this conversation would be that I'll care more about what he looks like and how he acts in the adverse times, not when he's riding the high wave, right? He even said it. It's easy in the post game after he gave the offensive lineman the ball, all the game balls. He somewhere in the middle of there. He alluded to the negative talk that they're getting, obviously, which is a big talking point over there right now. But he did say, it's easy to be ultimately a good teammate and a player and a leader and all that when you're winning, like and you're playing good ball, like they're playing. So, I think that I'm more concerned and more interested in what it looks like when there's adversity. And CJ's got to get to a point, Ron. And I hope that, hearing him be more vocal in the locker room and the post game in a positive moment, hopefully that bleeds over to him feeling like he can come out of his shell and be a little bit more, show a little bit more emotion on the sideline in the moment. Like, I don't expect him to go to the post-game presser and all of a sudden be some guy that does something different and has a different feel after getting his ass kicked all day. For me, it's what does it look like on the sideline when your O-line's not able to protect? Is there some kind of emotion shown on the sideline, right? Is there some kind of emotion on the sideline to your offensive coordinator when times are tough? And again, I'm not saying that you got to dog cuss the guy or throw him under the bus, but some level of, hey, guys, let's get this crap together and get this thing rolling.
It can sometimes look blank. And
I mean, we've covered him and watched him as close as we could possibly do. We're going on 3 years, and there's never – I don't recall there ever being a moment in an adverse situation where it was up, animated, we got to get this right, and everybody get your ass over here and listen. This is what we got to get done. This is what we got to get accomplished. Stop with all the penalties, all the false starts. Stay your tail on the clock and do your job and give me some time or whatever it may be, whatever the message that needs to be delivered is, there's not been a moment that we've seen that on a sideline. And so I'm anxious to see if that happens. And if this week, kind of what we saw, we had a little peek behind the curtain there in the locker room. I wonder if that rolls over into him maybe being a little bit more vocal on the sideline and on the field.
Yeah. Hopefully we see that. It does. Even when it is going wrong, you want to have the feel that, like, here, I'm good, man. I still, even though it's going wrong, I still have a ton of confidence that we can get back. Don't know if it's true or not, but sometimes his body language doesn't show that. Sometimes his body language doesn't show, I got confidence.
Well, not only the thing is not only does it not happen, there is a look and there's a mope to C.J. Stroud. There is a real mope to C.J. Stroud when he's getting hit. There's a real mope to C.J. Stroud when things aren't working out. There's a real mope around look to C.J. Stroud on the sideline when things aren't going his way. And look, there's nothing the guy can do about it, the look, because I think a lot of it is probably misinterpreted. But there is, to me, something in terms of holding guys accountable, whatever it may be. If they're not communicating right up front, if guys, we've heard it a million times, if guys aren't being coachable and you're not taking what the hell you're doing at practice to the field, nobody should be more quick to get that corrected than the damn quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, if whatever communication's going on up front and it's not getting done in the game, then there's nobody on the field that has more of a right to get in there with those guys on the sideline and get them together and get it right. I mean, if for whatever reason the play calling gets wonky and it's not aggressive enough, or they're not using tempo, or it's too much run, or it's too much, hey, there's nobody that has more of a right than the quarterback to say, hey, Kaylee, man, what the hell are we doing, man? This ain't what we talked about all week long. Yeah. You know, so that is what I'm waiting for. And it's a fascinating watch because we all know CJ can play. You know, the thing is, you know, can he do that? And I do think the mannerisms, I think the facial expressions, the body language, I do think all of that is something to keep an eye on.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.